You've just landed inside Launch Street, the innovation podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate and differentiate and get further faster in this crazy cluttered world. And now, innovation thought leader and your super fly host, Tamara Kleinberg.
All right, so how many of you have thought to yourself, the heck? I have this great innovative business, but the phone's not ringing. Yeah, I've been there too. You know, I think the first key to success is having an innovative idea and actually executing on it. But the second part of that is making sure people actually know about it. Our guest on Inside Launch Street is Sharon Bolt, and she has some ideas for you. She is a serial entrepreneur and a publicity expert. We get down and dirty on how you can get the word out, including all the free ways and why press releases still work. Not the way you might think to do them, though. So she flips it on its head. And we also talk about that one thing people care most about when it comes to your business and how to weave that into your marketing. So what do you say? You take some notes, get found, and get some success. Here we go. Sharon, thank you so much for joining me today for this conversation.
Thank you so much, Tamara, for having me on your show. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm excited too. And you know, part of the reason I wanted to talk to you is I feel very strongly in the power of story. It gets you so much further, so much faster. So I'd love to hear, as you know, you're the expert, why is sharing your story or your brand story so important when it comes to building your business?
Yeah, it's a good question, isn't it? Because we do hear a lot about people's stories today. And that's really because we like the human touch. We want to know about the person behind the business, don't we? So it's a way that people can connect with you. And it's where they connect with their heart with you as well as their head. So I think this is why it is so effective and so important. I mean, if you think about it, with the reality shows we see today, such as America's Got Talent, it's the person's story that we warm to, and even more so often more than we do their actual talent. You know, our heart has connected with them. We want them to do well. We've just connected to on so many levels with them then.
It's interesting you say that. I was just thinking about, we don't have cable, and so I don't turn on the TV often, but when I do, on like a Friday night, American Ninja Warrior will be on. And I love that show, but it's not about the obstacle course. It's more about the stories of the people before they go on the obstacle course that gets you to keep watching.
Well, that's right, isn't it? And the more relatable you can be with people, and, you know, it's all about being authentic and showing a part of yourself that maybe not many people know about. And I think there was quite a period of time, certainly in my business life, because I've been an entrepreneur now for 16 plus years. And I think nowadays, even more so than I've ever known, people are wanting to know about you much more than just about your business.
So why is that? Is that because the marketplace is so cluttered? Is that just because we're humans? Why is the you so important today?
I think to me, Tamara, there's been a couple of things that have taken place. One, I think social media. That has really personalized everything, hasn't it? It's all about quick conversations, quick posts, quick tweets. So I think that's the first part. So, you know, when we came into the social media time and all the different platforms there, that really did personalize things. We didn't become so formal about what we do in our business then. And I think hand in hand with that, and I'm not sure which one came first and what came second, but then the reality TV. I mean, it's all about following people and knowing about their lives. And, you know, there's so many celebrities today that have been made famous because they are just talking about their lives.
Isn't that the truth? I was just thinking about half the people I follow on Instagram who are, I mean, I don't want to say nobody. That's not fair. We're all somebody. But they're not famous for something in particular other than their posts. It's kind of funny,
right,
actually, when you think about it. So,
yeah.
So, you know, I find that sometimes as entrepreneurs, we get a little too close to our businesses, or sometimes we hide behind our businesses because we want that to be what lives forward. We try not to make it about us in some ways, and we lose sight of what customers want to hear. So how do we craft the most relevant story for our marketplace?
Yeah, well, the first thing is you need to make it relatable. People need to be able to resonate with you. So what did you do against all odds? What did you overcome? Or was it that you just wanted to pick your children up from school every day? So you gave up your 9-to-5 job and followed your dream? It doesn't have to be major. It doesn't have to be, you know, we see some stories online where you'll see, I'm a millionaire now, but I actually slept on my friend's couch and I was broke and I was in debt. It doesn't have to be the rags to riches stories. It could be literally that, you know, you're a mum and you just didn't want to miss out on your children growing up, and you wanted to play a part in their lives, and you just thought, you know what, I can't do corporate America, I can't do this type of lifestyle, so I'm going to start my own business.
So if I hear you right, Sharon, and what I think as listeners, launch readers out there, we should pay attention to is, you don't have to have had the rags to riches, you know, that we see on the cover of Fast Company magazine. It's all the little things in our lives that actually make our story. And that's actually what people want to hear about.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if we have got some inspiring, powerful story like that, then great. But I'm not suggesting we all have to become homeless in order to create a really good business story. You know, there are lots of really good inspirational stories. But I think what's really important to point out, Tamara, is that so many times business owners say, well, I haven't got a business story. I haven't done anything special. And they don't see it. You know, they just think, well, you know, I've just done it because that's what I've been wanting to do. It could be that they've overcome some illness or a medical diagnosis, and that's what catapulted them into doing what they love and are passionate about now. So it doesn't have to, what might appear to be major to the business owner themselves. Sometimes I say to people, just speak to your friends or colleagues and say, what would you want to know about me? And when they start asking questions, that's when you're going to start telling stories and they're going to be fascinated. And that's a great way to help you come up with a really good business story.
You know, this our conversation is reminding me of a test I just did on LinkedIn with some posts, and I'd love to get your perspective on this. So a colleague of mine and a friend and mentor said to me, look, do your posts, your memes, you know, with a text over a picture, like you're talking to me. Don't make them third person. Don't make them corporate. Don't make them from your team. Just write them like you were saying something to me, like I said something to you and you're responding. And so I did that a couple times on LinkedIn, and I got more views, like shares, comments, than I did on any other post that I've ever done. So, I mean, I think that's what you're saying, right? Is like, make it from you, make it from the heart. And that doesn't matter if you own, you know, if you're a, you know, mom working in your basement during school hours, or if you own a multi-million dollar business.
Well, that's exactly it, isn't it? I mean, I've read stories that have been, people have been featured in the national newspapers and online. And one particular story was a guy who was just working from his like a little box room in his house, and he was just writing his book. And this book exploded, and he became the number one bestseller on Amazon. And this, it was a story about that, and it was just this whole setup about him working in his, in just a very small room in his house, and how he's actually paid off his mortgage now and things like that. So it's just a lovely, heartwarming story.
So let me ask you this, because this is a little bit selfish question on my side, because this is where I get tripped up. Sometimes I look at the stories in my life or in my, you know, people on my team and their life, and I have a hard time connecting it back to the business. So I know this is going to sound really silly, but, you know, I'm a mom of two. I've got 8 and 12-year-old boys. Right now, by the way, I'm in that in-between swim practice and camps and school zone that a lot of us get into, where you want to pull your hair out. But in fact, let's just take that, because that's real. I have a hard time connecting that back to, you know, my business of innovation and all that. So will you just help me walk through how to think about that? Because I think for other entrepreneurs, that'll be helpful too, to think about how to connect those dots.
Yeah, that would be a great way of pointing this out and demonstrating, wouldn't it? So what was it, Tamara, that first started you thinking to become an entrepreneur and a business owner? What was it? What inspired you?
So I was climbing up the corporate ladder, and I, you know, I kind of was off and on the corporate ladder my whole life. I'd keep a job for 18 months and then go jump and do my own thing. I don't know why anyone hired me, to be honest, but I finally actually got to the very top. I was actually being groomed to take over a consulting firm, an innovation brand strategy firm. And I realized that while I climbed the ladder, my ladder was on the wrong wall, and that I was working for somebody else, making them money. I didn't agree with their decisions. I think probably a typical trait of entrepreneurs, were hard. We're not good employees sometimes. And that's when I jumped for good. And I realized, hey, wait a minute, I am serving my need and the need of the people that I can serve by doing my own thing and putting my ladder on the right wall, whatever that wall is. But it wasn't his wall.
Yeah. And that's amazing. That is a fantastic story that is so relatable to so many people that are in the 9-to-5 job, climbing up a ladder that is just not fulfilling them, yeah. That they're not authentic in. And I love that as well. You hear that a lot, don't you, where business owners say and entrepreneurs say that I'm just not really employable. Yeah. You know, I can't be groomed in a way that people want to groom me. So your business story is so relatable there, isn't it? So many people can relate to that. And particularly, I mean, your audience there with your book, your business, this story is so much about corporate America, isn't it? The people that are doing that 9-to-5 and are dipping their toes into becoming a business owner, but just doesn't know where to start and what to do. You are a great example of so many people, of whoever have it previously done what you're doing, where they've gone back and back and back to corporate work. And so you have so much there to offer and for them to relate to.
So funny. I haven't really thought about the why. So thank you for asking in a very long time about my ladder. It's funny. I haven't thought about my ladder in a long time. Do you think that part of what holds us back from sharing those stories is vulnerability? Because you're putting yourself out there.
Do you know what? I think there can be a little bit of that, but I also think it is, and I think this is potentially more so in the UK, is that sometimes we are brought up to project outwardly that we've got it all figured. We've got it all sussed. And if we are an expert in our field, then, you know, there's this particular image that we have to live up to. So I think for us to then say, well, actually, I wasn't always perfect, and I'm actually not even perfect right now either, is, as you say, is vulnerable. And I think it's the first time that I've started to notice that it's okay to say that.
So I want to dig into that a little bit further and maybe dispel what I think is a myth out there around, you know, that in order to have that cool story, you've got to be in some sexy category, you know, like the Airbnbs of the world, the Ubers of the world. But do you think it's fair to say that that doesn't really matter? So whether you're, you know, manufacturing hangers or creating robots and doing a B2B or a B2C, that it's the same?
Yeah, I mean, there are going to be certain niches that's going to be more, we're going to have more followers, more people that are going to be interested in. But if you find those niche markets, and that could be like a niche podcast, they're really good for things like this, isn't it? You know, if you're a, I don't know, marketing these hangers, and there are people that have podcasts, or you could even start your own podcast, of course, and you are just attracting people with that same interest, that this is such a target audience for you, then it's fantastic. So I think that yes, there's going to be certain markets that are going to have a lot more opportunity, so to speak. However, it's going to be probably a little bit more filled with competitors and be a little bit saturated depending on what market it is, such as, you know, like the health and wellness and fitness and nutrition. That's going to be a very saturated market. But you obviously there's still room for more. But in some of the niche type markets, then there's going to be opportunities for you just the same.
So I want to ask a little bit about that, because you mentioned health and wellness. So how important is it that your story is unique? Because, you know, particularly in health and wellness, there's a lot of people who lost weight, got healthy, got sick, used it as an, you know, reason to get healthy and are now sharing that. And I'm not discounting anyone, by the way, who got sick and then got healthy. That's amazing. But there's a lot of that. So do you have to find your unique angle? And if so, how do you do that?
I think these stories that we have are usually born from our own experiences. So I think that's why it's so effective and why we hear so much about if somebody is in the diet and fitness market, they've usually had some form of story that they've personally had or somebody close to them has had. You know, it could have been a parent or a sibling or somebody or a best friend who had suffered various situations and then they developed this. So I think that there is a way that it brings it back personally to you, whether it is a story where people relate to like yours, where you were struggling through the ladder of corporate America and really not feeling good about it, or whether it is that you've lost weight or overcome a health obstacle.
So you've been an entrepreneur, as you said, for many years. I'm curious about with your story, what have you shared that you have found has really resonated and worked to take you to the next level?
Well, yeah, it's a good question because the first time that I came into becoming a business owner, I had, like you had, I had a very good job. I worked, in fact, for British Airways, you know, the airline. And I was a manager. I was doing really well and I had a health issue. So I had this health issue where they thought it was MS, multiple sclerosis, and thankfully it wasn't. But it actually put me on a healing journey myself in order to look at myself and what was going on for me and to self-heal. And eventually I found these different therapies that I just became so passionate about and was amazed by how it really helped me. And I wanted to help other people. So that was my first entry into my first business. My second business was about dog training. So this is where I became so passionate about dog training, simply again a personal experience. I got two Parson Jack Russell puppies. They were 8 weeks old from the same litter, and I was told by numerous dog trainers it was the worst case scenario. They were going to fight for the top dog position. It was going to be horrendous and I'd probably need to rehome one. So that's what really caused me to be on a mission and to find a way that they understood, that was gentle and humane, and I didn't want to shout or hit or force. It needed to be really good. And so, of course, that was my next story. And it's so funny, Samara, because then my story branched on to the fact that because I was so passionate about that and starting to learn about business, I then saw an opportunity of being, well, it wasn't an opportunity for me really. I just heard on the national radio, which is Radio 2 here in the UK, that they were looking for a dog training expert. And at the time, I didn't have a dog training business. I didn't have a dog training website. I had a passion. I felt I could help people. I was having amazing results with my own dogs, plus my clients who had dogs that were my complementary therapy business. So I saw the opportunity and I went for it. And after trying three times with three different approaches, the emails I sent to the show, I was invited onto the show, was introduced as a dog training expert, and there were over 4 million listeners.
Wow.
So it's funny, isn't it? It's your own personal experiences that I feel that there has to come from that. We've played a part somewhere, either personally or in someone else's life, that's made a difference. And we can then pass on to others, you know, breaking down the myths. Like, for example, for me, you know, I wasn't set up. I had no business, but I had a passion and I dared to call myself an expert because I believed I knew a lot more than most people. So I didn't wait for other people to tell me it was okay. I didn't wait for other people to approve of me or to give me permission. I followed what I felt to be true myself and I went for it. So that's my story.
So launch streeters out there, just take a pause. And what's really resonating with me, what I'm hearing from Sharon, is think about your why, and your why is part of your story. Think about your experiences, your why, and that's what really should be driving the story that you're putting out there in the marketplace. I think all too often we get trapped in the features and benefits of our product, our service, whatever it is, and that's important. We need to have those things right, and they need to be valuable and different in the marketplace. But what I'm hearing here is the why in your heart matters just as much as the kind of features and benefits, which are more the head side of it. Am I right there?
Yes, you are, Tamara. And I also think we need to add some fun into it as well. You know, sometimes, as you rightly say, we're so close to our business that it gets all a bit serious. And I think, you know, we just have to take a deep breath and breathe out and think, oh, let's just have some fun here. You know, why am I doing this? What's in it for me? What's in it for other people? What can I offer? What can I share? And it's that type of thing. Let's have some fun with this.
You know, it's funny on that note. I have a lot of business to business clients, whether that's service or product, and they will sometimes come back to me and say, well, we can't do that. We got to be very professional and very buttoned up. And I have to remind them that we're in a human business. Business is human. It's people to people. Someone is still agreeing and signing that contract and check. So you still have to be relatable with people, even in the B2B world. I think we get it in the B2C world, but sometimes in the other side of it, we get lost behind the, oh, well, we've got to be professional to professional. And we lose sight of exactly what you're just saying.
Yeah, that is true, isn't it? And I think as well, something that we need to say as well, when coming up with your story still needs to be beneficial to your business. So, for example, if you was a divorce expert or a relationship expert, now let's say a relationship expert, and you have a story that you have been divorced 3 times and you're now feeling qualified, because that can qualify you to become an expert in that field of relationships, but only if you've now figured it out. If you're still going through yet another divorce, although you've got experience in it, your story, you still have to have then had some success in order to teach it. So I think it's easy for us to then think, oh, well, I just need the story and I'm going through that struggle right now, so that makes me an expert and I'm good to go. You've still got to be able to share what's worked for you and make it a positive thing rather than it's still going on for me and I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is so important for entrepreneurs out there, that, you know, it's one thing to have the experience. It's another thing to be over the hurdle of that experience and be able to talk about it, because you've had the success eventually. I mean, this could be a whole nother podcast, but it's one of my pet peeves, particularly in the speaking world, of speakers who get up there and talk about leadership, but they've never actually done it, or they've failed miserably. I've seen them fail miserably over and over again. I'm like, why are you talking? How is that your story? You're not good at it. Like, go find something else, please. That's a whole different pet peeve of mine, but so I'll get off that soapbox. But I hear what you're saying of take the experience and the challenges and the struggles, but make sure you've overcome them as well. Otherwise, the validity of that experience is still kind of, you're still too fresh and raw in it. You need to get over the other side. So I want to get a little bit tactical with you. So let's say we have our story now, or we figured out, we've layered on the why back onto our businesses. How do we get that story then out there? Because people got to find us too.
Yeah, that's right, isn't it? Well, the first thing, I think it's like a 3-step process. You first need to study the types of publications, the TV shows, the radio shows, the podcast shows, the ones that you would like to be interviewed on. So your ideal publication or show. Then start to get to know about what types of guests, what types of story angles they like to feature. So you can start getting an idea of how you can fit in, because it's not a case of just coming up with what you think that you want to say. You've got to fit in with them. Remember, they're calling the shots. So some publications, for example, will love a business story, and others, well, they like to put a little bit about a business story, but they want the main story to be something else. So if you're just pitching a whole business story and nothing else, and that's not relevant to what they do, then you're not going to be a good fit.
So is your suggestion then to come up with some umbrella stories, but know how to cut them up to fit the publication for what's going to, or the writer, blogger, whatever, to what's going to fit to them?
Yeah, that's very true. That's a good way of putting it, Tamara, because it's right what you say is it does take some work getting some things together. But there are, once you get going with this, there's lots of times where you add the same thing in. But it's almost like having like an easel that you've got all your paints on and you think, oh, I'm going to have a little bit of red and I'm going to have a little bit of green and I'm going to put a little bit of purple on this, and you start to build it. But there's going to be some colours that you always tend to use. And to be honest, your business story is always going to be something that you'll use. There's always going to be an element of your business story because it is that popular today.
So one of the things that I hear a lot about, you know, when I think about how to get the story out there, is that press releases are dead and you should never use them because nobody pays attention. But you say otherwise, you have a little bit of a different spin on them. So why do you think business should use them?
Well, the first thing, Tamara, I think that business owners and entrepreneurs don't know how to write press releases because there is a specific format to follow, which is why I have written that report, because when you write a press release and you know what to write, the journalist automatically gets that you know what you're talking about. So the thing is, with a press release, there are some people even today, especially the older school type of journalists, who are used to that particular format. So they're able to really skim down it to find out very quickly if this is going to be something good for them or not. And the main real job of a press release is for it to be a standalone document. So a reporter can actually take some information from that document, from that press release, and create a small article, sometimes without having to actually ring you and find out more information. Now, what I would say to a press release is I wouldn't send a press release to a blogger or a podcast show, because that is much more the personal touch. But there are still there's lots of places today, you know, when you think about the police and councils and things like that, they always send out press releases. So the press release is definitely not dead, for sure, but there are ways to present it in a way that the journalist will love you for it.
So, oh my gosh, I have so many questions swimming in my head. I got to back myself up. So first of all, what I hear you saying is it's not that the press release is dead. It's that we're doing it maybe wrong or in the old way of doing it. We've got to get back to the right way. What should that press release include then? So I heard you say like some type of title or something that captures their attention or is what they would write about. And then there's a little bit of content. Are there images in it? How do I think about structuring it?
Yeah, it's a good point. One, you never add it as an attachment. You always put it into the body of the email. And yes, if you can add an image, that's really good. The only thing you have to be careful with is that journalists nowadays, because they're checking so much on their phones, if your press release, your email becomes too big of a file, they would just delete it because it will back up everything that's coming onto their phone. So it's a little bit trial and error. This is why it's so important that you get to know the journalist first and find out what type of things that they like. Some reporters will absolutely love press releases and some will hate them. So when you start to build a relationship with a reporter or a journalist, that's when you can start to ask them, well, what do you favour? Do you like a pitch? Do you like a press release? And then when they say what it is, then you can add it. But it's always in the body of the email, and images are really good, but you do have to be careful. Sometimes you have to have a conversation with them where they email you back, and then you can say, I've got a really high quality image that you can use. Or if you have a press room page on your website or a press kit, you can then direct them to that where they can download the image, which is even better if you've got that. But you don't have to have that. For years, I was dealing with the press and was getting lots and lots of press attention and having lots of features, and I never had a press room on my website or a press kit. It just makes it much easier if you do.
I mean, in some ways, Sharon, I'm laughing because what you're saying sounds so obvious. Find out how they want to be communicated to and communicate that way. seems kind of like, duh.
That's it. And the thing is, and this is one of the biggest mistakes that business owners seem to make is, and I mean, I understand this, you know, when I first started out and I didn't have a clue what I was doing. And I, you know, you do the best you can. And when you sort of like fall on your face, you think, oh, it just doesn't work. But the problem is that, you know, if to send out a pitch or a press release just to a list of people that you know nothing about, you don't know if it's relevant to what they write about, even to the section that they're in, you know nothing about them, you've made no contact. You know, sometimes it's like going on a blind date and asking someone to marry you.
I hope that's not the case. You know, it's the other thing I would add to what you're saying, Sharon, is not we should take the time ahead to understand what does that reporter write about, what's their angle, how can I connect with them in a way that works for them and that builds a relationship with them? Because ultimately, the benefit of that press isn't just the possible sales or the marketing that you get from that moment, but it's the credibility you get from being in that publication, whatever, or on that podcast or whatever it is. So, you know, when I got an article in Inc. magazine, yes, that was great. That led to a ton of subscribers, but you better believe that that's on the bottom of every of my web pages and every time I call a potential keynote speaking client, because I want them to know I was in it. It gives me instant credibility too.
Oh, that's absolutely beautifully put, Tamara. It is. It is that credibility. And I also say to people, and I'm sure you've done it already yourself, is to put their logo on your website with something like as seen in or as featured on, and then all the logos that you have on your website so that people can see that you have, and you only need one to have done one guest post, really, to you know, have that badge. So it's a beautiful thing to do when you've been featured in these places. The other thing to say tomorrow is that one of the things we have to realize about journalists, and this is really some tough love here, is that they're not interested in you. They're not interested in me. They're not interested in my business.
What?
I know, shock horror, isn't it? They really don't care that much about me. And so what you have to do is that you have to make it all about them and their audience. That's their job, to entertain, inform, and educate their audience. And you need to come up with those ideas and those stories that is relevant to what they write about or they talk about on their show so that it's a fit.
Yeah, you know, you're so right about that. And I think it's so hard for us to remember. You're right. It is absolutely a little bit of tough love slap in the face there of, hey, don't lead with me. Lead with what's in it for them or what they would appreciate. And I would add to the layer to that, which is I think where you're headed is what's in it for their readers, because they want readers, viewership, listeners, whatever it is. So what is it that's going to get them more of what they want out of it too, which is more of that?
Yeah. And what happened was when I was first interviewed on the national radio I was telling you about, I thankfully knew that I needed to make it all about them. Now, when you think about it, Tamara, I had no dog training business. I had no real great things to tell them about me anyway. So it suited me really well, because that wasn't a plus for me. What was a plus for me was my knowledge, even with I think I'd been really focused on it for maybe 6 months, not even that. You know, I was just really passionate about it. I was seeing these amazing results. And that's what I was sharing with them. So what I could pass on to their listeners, why these behaviors happen and how I had the answers and the solutions that I could pass on to their listeners that's going to make a difference for them. I never said anything about me. And you know what? They never asked anything about me either.
Amazing. You're right, Sharon. It's not about you and me. Who knew?
No,
who knew?
I know.
Yeah. But for launch readers out there, I would take a deep breath and let that sink in, because that, I think, is the key to communication overall. It is not about you. It is about what the other person and what's in it for them. And we're all selfish and we've all got something we're trying to accomplish. And I think if we can remember that, our communication can go a lot further. And eventually we'll get into the nitty gritty of who we are. But that's not what you lead with, because nobody cares.
That's right.
Yeah. I love that you said that. So thank you for reminding all of us about that. So, you know, as you know, our listeners are innovators. So they're entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs in our community. They're bringing new ideas to the world in some way. What advice do you have for them in pitching something that, you know, isn't something people already get? It's something you're trying to lead people to.
Yeah, this is a good question, Tamara, because journalists like anything that is new. So if they've got something here that is new, that is it's been invented, it's a new way of looking at things, it's a new way of doing things, it's a new way to change things up and get different results. So if you can use the word new, particularly in the subject line and the headline, so it stands out, and naturally you need to follow up why it's new, how it's different, and how it would benefit their audience.
So great. So if I hear you right, in this case, being innovative, being new, different, fresh, actually works in your favor because they don't want to cover the same old, same old.
Absolutely. So what you're going to do is when you're looking at, let's just take publications, because it's easy for people to research, to look at the publication, to have a look what types of stories they feature, what type of headlines they use. And then you're looking to see how you can find your unique way of coming into that, what they haven't covered before, what's new to them. Or it doesn't have to be brand new, just a new way of looking at things. So yeah, there's loads of potential here for your audience.
Oh, so much good stuff here. Sharon, you mentioned a free report, so I want to make sure not to brush over that. So where can people go to get that and to connect with you?
Yeah, that's on my website, which is Get Free Publicity Today, all one word, getfreepublicitytoday.com.
Excellent. I'm going to tell people right now, go there. I've been there and I've pulled some of the tools down and they work. So go and get the stuff yourself. So Sharon, I can't even believe we're out of time. My one last question for you is, what's the one thing people would be surprised to learn about you? And that could be, you know, a hobby, passion, experience.
Ah, well, I think people are quite, I'm not sure if they're surprised, but most people don't know, is that about 10 years ago, I went on a 4-week spiritual pilgrimage across India. And it was just amazing. It changed my life and my career. And I went from wanting to stay small in my business to wanting to get out there and share my knowledge and experience with other people. It was just the most amazing experience.
I've always wanted to go, so maybe offline. We can talk about, you know, scheduling my trip, what that might look like. Sharon, thank you so much for joining us. This is chock full of information. And, you know, I just want to close it by saying, for those of you listening, this is such good stuff. And if you're an entrepreneur, wow, take this concept and think about how you're communicating your ideas to your leadership and your team, because the same thing applies. We're dealing with the same challenges and the same type of scenarios. And for entrepreneurs out there, you've got your template for getting your business out there to the world. So go do it. Sharon, thank you so much.
Thank you, Samara.
Thanks for hanging out with us inside Launch Street. When you're ready to take your game to the next level, join the thousands of others that are upping their innovation edge on GoToLaunchStreet.com, the top online education resource and community platform for innovators looking to use innovation to get measurable results. GoToLaunchStreet.com.